told I want to be Republican to a very dear friend of mine. He sends me a nice new crash on my wife every year, and I thought, that's a pretty good evidence of friendship.
I can tell you why. The other day, with all that bunch of dignitaries up yonder, that you were the only man outside of the official ones on the program, Amon Carter and your friend Carpenter and mine, let me fish down there in his lake over at Dallas and 2-3 of them. You know why they called on you and wanted you to speak?
No, I don't know.
Well, you was with me, that's all.
Middle son on a matter, and I told him, what day are you going? Well, I don't say, let me know, I got a good time. Well, so there are lots of good in life as well as a lot of other things. I think I'll give you this morning briefly an interpretation of the book of Esther. I hope that I've got something that even profound scholars like Dr. Martin and Dr. Ischinger and Dr. Hamilton and other members of faculty, I hope I have something that's new to them as it is to me. Remember that the Bible is given to us in blood and tears. It's incarnate in human beings of like passions in ourselves. Remember at this time, the Medo-Persian Empire was the greatest empire in the world, ruled all the world, no civilization. From far off India, flaring down through Ethiopia, and to the far reaches of the north of the Caspian and Black Sea, and to the Mediterranean Sea. It was established by Cyrus the Great, and then there were successors after that. A description of the palace in the first chapter. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast of all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days. Even 180 days, 180 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen, and purple to silver rings and pillows of marble. The beds were of gold and silver, upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women, now separate from the men. And then the word went out and commanded Vashti to be brought before the king. I will not go into this custom, but here was the custom. And it was true on up into our day in the Turkish Sultan. And the old Turkish Sultan, who was kicked out by Kemal Pasha and the last of them, when they would have their harem of beautiful women and they would give a feast of revelry, these women were compelled to stand before the men absolutely nude. And that was what caused Vashti to refuse the king's commandment. They sent and commanded that she should come and stand before the king and his drunken lords, and she refused. Now, because she refused, therefore she was banished from the throne. The crown was taken from her brow, and the chamberlains and nobles said, if this thing should prevail and go throughout the kingdom, that the queen has refused to obey the king's command, never mind how crude and vulgar it was, therefore the women of the kingdom will no longer respect their husbands and lords. So therefore she was banished. Then they said, let's find another beautiful young woman for the king, and so all the fair virgins, a multitude of them, were brought, and they were given a certain amount of training and preparation. And Esther, the Jewess, was found to be the fairest. And for 1 year she was given preparation to become the queen. And Esther did not tell her people. Her foster father, her uncle, who was the brother of her father, and so made Esther and Mordecai first cousins, and he adopted her as his own child. And Mordecai sat at the gate. He was keenly interested in what goes on in the palace. And as he sat at the gate, he would see his daughter, the queen, as she would come and go. But here was another custom. He was not allowed to speak to her. You don't find that in the book of Esther, but that was the law. No subject would ever be allowed to speak to royalty except by the invitation or bidding and permission of royalty. Now that's important if you want to understand the book of Esther. Now, Mordecai charged Esther that she not tell any of her people what had come to pass in her exaltation. There are three great truths that I want you to notice and to sum them up when I finish just a few words. And the 17th verse of the second chapter, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. While Mordecai was sitting at the gate, he overheard two conspirators who were going to assassinate the king. He got her word, Esther, and told her to tell the king of these two conspirators, Bigthan and Teresh, that they were going to assassinate the king. And they were apprehended and hanged, and the king's life was saved. Time marches on. There appeared on the scene a shrewd, scheming, designing politician by the name of Haman. He comes on the scene unannounced, and Ahasuerus promoted Haman until he was ahead and above all the princes of his entire empire. And all of the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Wonderful text for you, if you know how to use it. Then the king's servants, which were in the high king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? It came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told him to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them he was a Jew. And Haman's servants and nobles said, Why do you let this Jew get away with this? He doesn't show you any respect. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, just because of his hatred for this one Jew. And Haman said unto the king, Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's province to suffer them. That's exactly what was said in Pharaoh's time. That's exactly what was said in your and my time. That's exactly what Hitler said. I received a very mean, scurrilous underground attack yesterday on a Jew. A friend of mine sent it to me, and I wrote him a letter that he won't show his wife. Amen. long as that, it may be that every Jew ought to be hung. But I'm not going to be fool enough to be the Haman to build the gallows. God might have to take care of him. He'll punish them for that disobedience, but the vengeance belongs to him. You better not take it in hand. I've always said there are two things you better not lay your hands on, and the devil. One is a Jew, and the other is a fundamental Baptist preacher. Now, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have the charge of this business. To bring it into the king's treasury, that'd be around $20 million. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. Remember that Agag consumed the pieces by Samuel. He was one of the descendants. The Jews then. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also. Do them as it seemeth good to thee. And there was a decree issued, and the posts were given. The commandment of the king. Now remember, this could not be changed. That's vitally important, remember. He signed it and sealed it. And you want to watch how this Haman, he got the crown from off the brow. He was planning and conspiring to overthrow the king himself. The cut of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day, a day was set for the execution of the entire Jewish population. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city of Shushan was proclaimed. Now Mordecai is sitting at the gate. When he perceived and knew of the decree, he rent his clothes, covered himself in sackcloth and ashes. And when the word came to Esther, that her father was there in sackcloth and ashes, it's very humiliating for her. Evidently, the decree was kept from her. So she said, "Hey, Patch," to an ass, "why is he thus in sorrow? And here, give him some raiment. But this is no time for my father, my foster father, my love." And so, then, Hey, Patch came and told Esther what Mordecai said. He told her that we are under the edge of the sword. Tell her that we are to be destroyed. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, I should stop here and say, here's the law and I want you to keep this, so we're going to get a great lesson out of it. Mordecai sent word to Esther by Hathach, "You go in to the king and you make a request and a plea for the life of your people, for me and for yourself." She sent word back, "Did you know, and all the kingdom knows, that no man or woman is allowed in the king's presence except by his invitation. Now for these 30 days, I have not seen the king, nor has he bid me to come into his presence. And if I go unbidden, I shall be put to death." There's no appeal. That's the law of the Medes and Persians, could not be changed. "All right," says Mordecai. "You go tell Zethach, you go and tell Esther. Think not to thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall thy enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Didn't he have faith? "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come for the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer. Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded. Now here is a courage. She put on the royal apparel. She went into this magnificent palace that described here in this first chapter, unbidden, and stood over against the king's throne across the other side of the palace. It's life or death. And when the king saw her, he extended his scepter, and she came forward and touched the top of the scepter. And he asked, O Queen Esther, what is thy petition? She's a very smart Jewish girl, don't forget that. And he said, I'll give you your request, even the half of the kingdom. That occurs three or four times in this wonderful, inspired drama. And so she said, if you grant me my request, I'd like for you and Haman to be my guest tomorrow and night. So the king commanded Haman that he and Haman would dine with the queen. Oh, then Haman went forth that day joyful and with glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and stood not up, no move for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, he refrained from laying his hands on him. I'll just save you for another day. He went home and told Zeresh and his princes what great honor had come to him, the glory of his riches, and how that he was now invited by the queen to come and dine with him. But he said, all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai, that Jew, sitting in the king's gate. Oh, said Zeresh and princes, oh, we'll settle that. Let a gallows be built. Hang it on it. And so went to work, and much work in a hurry, gets up today. 50 cubits, 75 feet high. Now, may I stop here? Yet how the Bible is always true to whatever is custom or science or philosophy, don't be afraid of it. You hear that expression often, hang as high as Haman. Now, galluses in our day are not built that way. I've had to stand and stand on the scaffold when three men, they didn't hang high, they dropped low. The way the galluses we've had until we supplied it with an electric chair, I don't know which I'd rather have, a gallus, electric chair, or gas, or what, or the head. But anyway, and the way they do it, whether you ever saw one or not, they have a platform that's about 14 feet high. Just a platform, let's say about 10 feet square. And here is a huge beam up above here, fastened to two iron posts on either side. And the rope is tied around that heavy beam. And the noose is made by wrapping around six times. And that noose, that knot, if you call it that, put on the right side. And when you drop through, the quick jerk breaks the deck. What's going to happen, I told you, when those others down. The officers stand on the platform, and the condemned man stands here. And the news, I say, is hanging above him, and the black cap is in the hands of one of the deputies, a very handsome looking thing. And just after he said his last word, they put the black cap over his face. And then the news comes down, right, it's already down, held another deputy, and slipped it over his neck and fastened it. And I remember one fellow said, the sheriff asked him, is it too tight? He didn't want to choke him, he was very considerate. And then there's a lever out here, and he's standing on a trap door. He steps on that lever, and the bar that holds it drops down, and two doors open, and he drops through. And he falls about 8 feet, and that breaks his neck. Now then, that has, of course, been supplanted with an electric chair. Very gruesome thing. There was one fellow up there one day, and he weighed so much, and got soft. Ejected his head off. I'll stand up. Down there and saw the poor fellow. Line up, got his head off. Everybody got sick. It wasn't funny to me when I was there. It had never been funny. Well, so in the ancient times, they hung this way. They would take a high-powered lens, a string, and turn it as far as it could. And the rope would be around this windlass, and up here would be a pulley, room for 50 or cubits or 75 feet. Now, when this spring was turned loose, why, it would jack the body up a distance of 75 feet. And he would hang there when he was dead. And incidentally, that phrase, dead, 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 came from the ancient empires. Now, so that's how we have this expression, hanging as high as hanging. The state of Connecticut still follows that method. There. While he's standing here on the ground, scattered, tie the rope around his neck, and spring and turn loose, and he goes up until they let him down and put the stethoscope to see if he's dead. Then he hangs there long enough, there's no doubt about it. But they have to have an official verdict that he's dead. That fellow whose head was jacked off, the doctor got out on him and near him. Put his telescope to his heart. He said, he's dead. Now, that's just to help you to understand what happened to him. So, the king, the night the king couldn't sleep, God Almighty disturbed the wicked. He had fear of dreams, strange dreams, to call Joseph to come out of prison. Nebuchadnezzar, dream a dream, he couldn't tell, so that Daniel could interpret the history of the world yet to be to the end of time. Well, anyway, he was reading the Chronicles, and he read where that Mordecai had saved the king's life. He says, what's been done to reward him? Nothing. By that time, Haman was coming into the palace door. Says, who comes? I said, Haman. What shall be done? For the man whom the king delighteth to honor. That's what Haman said. Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? Well, Haman said, I suggest that you want to honor the man? Let the royal apparel be brought which the king used to wear. She is going to take the throne. And the horse that the king rideth upon. And the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes. Haman said, no way to get a job. That they may array the man with all whom the king delighted to honor and bring him on horseback. Let this noble prince bring him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. Then said the king to Haman, make haste, take the apparel of the horse, as thou hast said, and do even to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth in the king's gate. Let nothing fall out of that which thou hast spoken. Then Haman took the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and led the horse through the street. So Mordecai sat up there.
I'm not saying it. The first operation there.
my people. If we'd been sold into slavery and made bondmen and bondwomen, that would have been all right. But here we are sold to die, to be put to death. Why, the king says, who did such a dastardly thing? I included in it. And she rose and parted her finger and said, the adversary, this wicked Haman. And the king was full of wrath. And he walked out of his palace into his gardens. Haman knew the hour of judgment had come. So he rose and stood and begged, and as she lay on her couch, he fell on his face, on his knees, on the couch with the queen. And about that time, Ahasuerus comes in and sees him lying on the couch with his wife. Why would he force the queen here before me? And his chamberlains saw the wrath of the king. He said, there's a gallows he built for Mordecai. Pay him on it to take him out and hang him. And he was hanged. And Esther wrung her hands and flee. There's nothing like the refined cruelty of a beautiful woman. I saw a woman once shoot her husband 6 times. I ride on a streetcar, summer car in Dallas. I knew her. She was a member of my church. We were very pleasant that morning. A Mrs. Clanner. Now we talked. I didn't see anything wrong. And I got off. She got off. She got off. She started running across the street. I saw her husband stand over there. He's dead. Dead 6 times. The poor fellow fell in the spot of blood, and she fell on it. And said, oh, honey, I loved you so much. I did love you. I loved you so much, I wasn't willing for that other woman to get you. He was bleeding, and she was bloody, and I was standing nearby, safe distance. I can hear that woman say now, oh, honey, how I do love you. How I do love you. And that's a very cute way a woman tells a husband how I do love you. I preached this film. She intended it, still said she loved him. She just loved him so, I just love you so, I'm not going to let that other woman get you. All women are rescued. I'm afraid of it. You better me too. Well now, so then what happened? There were 600 or 700 of them in Shushan the palace. They were all, they began to slay Haman's crowd right now. And went on till over 70,000 were slain throughout. Against the day was the 15th of March, the 8th of March, when Caesar was assassinated. That's the great feast of the joy among the Jews to this day. I want to mention 3 lessons in conclusion. Now I'll give you 3 points per sermon if you want them. First, one of the greatest truths of the cross, one dying for many. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. The original meaning there is, perishing, I perish. I am going to die for my people. For no sin that I have committed, I'm going to die that they might live. And in a wonderful example of self, on the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that they which should live henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things, behold, all things are new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled the world unto himself, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath given to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we pray you in Christ's name, be ye reconciled unto God. For, or because, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a marvelous example here of substitution, perishing for others. A second great truth is that of law and grace. As I explained to you, it was one of the inviolate laws that no human being, however high or low, would dare to come into the king's presence unless invited. It came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. She obtained grace in his sight. The law was, from which there had no appeal or change, that she must die. Where the law ended, when that scepter was extended, grace began. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Well, I'll take it over. One other lesson, third. Haman is a marvelous type of the final wicked ruler that shall rise on the earth. And in his rage, his one mad rage will be to slay all the Jews. He will come against Jerusalem. And in the last moment, when the city is about to be destroyed and the people utterly put to the sword, then shall the Lord of heaven appear and shall slay that wicked one and all of his armies, as Haman and his sons and his princes were slain. And those three lessons: the death of Christ, law and grace, and the final destruction of that wicked one, this wicked angel. He may be ready to rise now. I close by calling your attention with Mordecai, five other world Jewish rulers.